Is not the life more than the meat? Behold the birds of the air. Are you not of much more value than they? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today's Gospel is an excerpt from our Lord's Sermon on the Mount, which we can describe as a Christian way of life. It is very simple. Every man must serve God and have endless trust in God's providence. The many miseries and sorrows which we experience in this life, they prove that this world is not our true home, but a place of exile and veil of tears. The whole history of the Church has been constant battle over the hearts of men as to who is in charge in them. Is it God or is it the world? In my country, in its southern region, there is a lake whose name can be translated as the Lake of Second Thoughts. It is said to have derived its name from the times of the Crusades, when Swedish royal troops started to plant the Catholic Church in heathen Finland. At first, everything seemed to go well, and lots of Finns received baptism. But when it became clear that after becoming part of the Kingdom of God, they were obliged to act accordingly as well, like pay tithes to the Church and live lives according to strict moral standards of Christianity, they started to rebel against the new masters and the new religion. Many Finns gathered to this lake to wash away their baptism and renounce Christianity, thereby giving this lake its name, Lake of Second Thoughts. This piece of history hit the news a couple of weeks ago when a group of atheists arranged a performance in the capital where they offered to wash away the baptism of everyone willing. They used water drawn from this lake and also issued official certificates of the act, which proudly proclaimed that the person involved had now been purged from the restraints of Christian baptism and was now his or her own master. Our Lord, when walking here on earth, was not a lonely soul who was to set an example of how to act with our fellow men. Of course, he was that too, but first and foremost, for people of the time and to us as well, our Lord was a teacher. In his own simple way, and our Lord contrasts the service of God with the service of the world, and taught men plain and simple that his disciples cannot serve both. No man can serve these two contrary masters, because it is impossible to love both. We must necessarily, as Jesus says, hate the one and love the other. Between two masters, we can serve only him whom we honor and love, but cannot serve him whom we hate and despise. These words of Jesus startled his first listeners, and they startle us as well, even today. But the truth is sound. No man can serve two masters who issue irreconcilable orders. Jesus first came to give this gospel to the Jews, the chosen people of God. During the time of the Sermon on the Mount, heaven existed for the Jews, kind of in a way as it exists for a modern man. The Jews never lifted their eyes on high, but looked for their reward here below. But as prophet Isaiah had told to the ancient Jews several centuries before, God would lay a precious stone of a new covenant, and their league with death would be abolished. And he then said, "For the bed is straightened so that one must fall out, and a short covering cannot cover both." Just as with the Jews of our Lord's time, we who now inhabit this earth must make our choice. Sadly, most of the professed Christians of today find our Lord's sweet yoke much too heavy and even unbearable to carry. These people really don't need to wash away their baptism. By neglecting to carry their own crosses of life, they have shown who their master really is. In baptism, when the priest signs the child with his thumb on the forehead, he says, "And this sign of the Holy Cross, which we trace on his brow, do thou, accursed demon, never dare to violate." What does a man who has been violated by the prince of this world? Does he love God or temporal goods? He might not be in open rebellion to God, but he is indifferent to God, does not serve him, and violates his holy commandments in many ways. He thinks everything according to earthly possessions, because his heart belongs to them. To acquire and increase these earthly possessions, he fears no trouble. In short, money and goods are his God. But a true disciple of Jesus, who is well taught to look after heavenly goods, should overlook earthly riches as creatures of time and perishable. In the new law, a true Christian does not fail to fulfill all the duties of life, nor to endure its trials. He fasts, like the Jews did, but with a joyful face, seeking to attain by mortification and penance the real detachment from worldly feelings and to a closer love to his God. He prays, but it is in secret when he talks to his Father. With hard work and trouble he seeks his daily bread, but without uneasiness or anxiety, without clinging to the treasures which can be spoiled and thieves can take away. Not like the Jews seeking to share his heart between God and Mammon, but rather putting all his trust in the providence of the Father. Of course, we love God and strive to obey his commandments because we want to get to heaven. But have you ever thought how good Almighty God has been to you by allowing you to be baptized and thus called you as one of his elect? And also how immensely ungrateful it would be to wash away this gift, either by apostasy from the faith or by disobedience to God's commandments. You can grasp the immense gratitude you should owe God more easily through this incident. A little girl named Janie was once playing on the floor with her doll while her mother was writing a letter. Finally, the letter was finished. Mother then called Janie to come sit on her lap. Janie jumped at the invitation, saying, "I'm so glad you are finished with that letter, Mama. I wanted to love you so much." "I'm glad you love me, darling," said her mother. "But were you lonely while I was writing? You and your dolly seem to be having a good time together." "Yes, Mama," said Janie, but I got tired of loving her. How is that? Asked the mother. Oh, Janie sighed, because Dolly never loves me back. Is that why you love me? Smiled the mother. Because I love you back. That is one why, Mama, but it is not the first and best why. And what is the first and best why? The mother asked. Janie answered, looking straight into her mother's eyes. Why, Mama, it's because you loved me already when I was too little to love back. That's why I love you so. Dear faithful, there is nothing sweeter than loving someone and having that person love you back, that is, return to your love. Conversely, there is nothing sadder than loving someone who does not love you back, who does not return your love. And in this way, a Christian who has been redeemed in baptism by the great mercy and love of God, but who acts coldly or indifferently towards his Maker, he is even sadder and more lamentable sight than a heathen who openly hates and despises God. All of us who are baptized and sealed with the holy seal of God are called to be like a loving child of God, humble, faithful, and obedient. But many times we act like a lifeless doll. Today in Mass we feel strong and filled with holy zeal, but tomorrow all of our resolutions might grow cold. After all, what would other people say to us and of us if we actually would start to act like a baptized Christian? We would not dare to face them if we were to act like a follower of Jesus. But really, companions, friends, what are all the companions in the world compared to God, who has loved us and taken care of us, even when we were still unable to love back? What are all the friendships, the truest and the best, to this dear and sacred brotherhood of Christ? As it is said in a psalm, Behold, O God, our protector, and look on the face of thy Christ, for better is one day in thy courts above thousands. We live in a world, as you have seen in the news, where even mother's love has grown cold. And the saddest part of this tragedy is not so much the mean attitude of the people who hate religion, but that so many Christians choose to seek rather the vanishing love of the world, which can and will never love them unless they first love it back. They have, in effect, washed away their baptism. They have had second thoughts. Sadly, for the most part, those who call themselves Christians today are like unresponsive, lifeless dolls. By living excessively preoccupied with material things, they show lack of trust in God's providence. In this world, the servants of mammon are many, those who rather choose comfy life than the hardships of religion. Sadly, they are like lifeless dolls, unwilling to love back. Those who practice birth control instead of self-control are basically lacking in faith and trust in God. Again, lifeless dolls. And most of them make every effort to ensure their family a good living after their death, but neglect to remind and plead their family to pray for their souls after their death, lifeless dolls, and soon lifeless men as well. They have had second thoughts, whether they really do want to renounce Satan and all his works and allurements, as they have promised in their baptism. In our times, men think that they are the lords of the world and may do as they will, while in reality, neither is this world worthy of our affection, nor is it capable of giving us any consolation in the times of need and in distress. As beautiful as many things of this world are, those can never love you back. Only the Almighty God, who has created you, cherished you, and loved you, even when you did not love him back, is truly and unconditionally worthy of your love. Make a pledge never to have second thoughts of your day of baptism, when you were separated from the sinful and deceitful world, and when you received the lighted candle, the priest told you the words which would be good for you to remember as to whom your first affection and love should belong. Receive this burning light, safeguard thy baptism by a blameless life. Keep the commandments of God, that when our Lord shall come for the heavenly nuptials, thou mayest meet him together with all the saints in the court of heaven, and live for ever and ever. Amen. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.